And as he walks his way on up here, let me just talk about my good friend Nazareth. About 10 years ago, I had the opportunity to take a comedy class with this guy. I'm sorry it was unsuccessful, but nonetheless, Nazareth has been a great friend to my ministry, to our church, and has just done so much for me over the years. And every once in a while, I get one, I call him a random Nazareth text. Hey, you know, do you need a Sunday? And I'm like, yes, I need a Sunday. So thank you for being here. Everybody, would you give it up for Christian comedian Nazareth? So thankful to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you. What a wonderful young man. Thank you so much. Good morning. We're going to dig in the Word in a little bit, but first let me just tell you a little bit. Last time I was here, one person from here said, Nazareth, I'd like you to come to Huntington Beach. They're going to have the Blue Angels F-16 fly. Anybody have seen those F-16 air show? He goes, it's free. I go, listen, I'm from the Middle East. I don't pay cover to see F-16s. I take cover when I see F-16s. But how many of you are in a Bible study? Anybody in a Bible study? I attend a men's Bible study, but last month I started attending a woman's Bible study because the food is a lot better. Oh, trust me on this one. The food at a woman's Bible study is a lot better, man. You know, they even have charcuterie boards. Have you seen those charcuterie boards? Charcuterie is French word for we ran out of small plates. You know, my men's Bible study, they don't do anything. One time they did like a chicken wing challenge. Who can eat the spiciest chicken wing? Yeah, so I went there. I love spicy. So they have the regular buffalo, the spicy buffalo, and the El Diablo. They go, oh, that's going to burn. If you eat that, your whole mouth will burn. Don't even touch it. I love spicy, so I took four. And everybody's at the table, are you okay? Are you dying? I'm like, phew. My mom's breast milk was spicier than this. See, I like to read, and I was just reading this. It really bothered me. There's a company called Venhub that are making robotic convenience stores where you don't need an attendant. They have a robot that will serve you. Listen, people, come on. First, you took cigarettes away, so we started selling vape. Then you took the gas cars and stopped coming to our gas stations and have your Teslas, so we started driving Ubers. Now you're going to take our convenience stores away? If you want us to leave, let us know. We can't fly because we're on the no-fly list, okay? I mean, good luck with that robot giving you the bathroom key, huh? I just don't like it. I'm reading all this stuff. I'm reading that our country is $26 trillion in debt. Did you know that? Who cares? What are they going to do, evict us? Really? Can they kick us out? We'll come back through Mexico. That's why don't make the wall too high. So we can get... I mean, we have a lot of money. I don't understand. We have a lot of money, and how come we are in debt as a country? I think all we need to do to pay it off is have a country garage sale. Let's get rid of stuff we don't use and sell it, like Alaska. We don't need it. It's been up in the Arctic, I mean, you know. We can't drill, we can't do anything. Just sell it. It'll bring some money. We don't need 2 Carolinas, 2 Dakotas, and 2 Virginias. Sell one of them. Ellis Island. No immigrants are coming through Ellis Island. You know where they're coming through. We don't need, get rid of Ellis Island. San Francisco. You can have it. You can have it. Just take it. I'll throw Portland on top of it. Just take it off. But it's just, I like reading. Was it August 10th? I celebrated my 27th wedding anniversary. Anybody married? Married? How many years? Who? How many?
9 years.
9 years? Did we top that? 37? 32. 42. Did I hear 50? 50? 50. 50. You won. 50. See, what happened is, with marriage, do we have any 16-year-olds here, any 15-year-olds applying for a driver's license? You know what you need for a driver's license? You have to take a class on driving. You have to do do course. Then you go to the DMV, you pick up your DMV booklet, you memorize all the signs, and then you have to drive 6 hours with a professional, and then you have someone who has a driver's license, is older, driving with you, then you do the physical test, and boom, if you pass, you get your license. See, with marriage, 50 years, what did you need to get a marriage license? $20. And a blood test, maybe back then, right? See, that's the problem. Some men are not really good married. They don't need a marriage license right away. They need to go through the whole thing, like watch 20 hours of Hallmark movies. Then 20 hours of divorce court, so you know what not to do. Then you go get the marriage booklet and memorize all the signs, like stop, yield, mother-in-law crossing, proceed with care. And then you have to do 4 tests, people. 4 tests before you can even apply. The snoring test. Ladies, if you're single, the man you're going to meet, he's not going to tell you he snores. You shouldn't live with him before marriage, so you'll never find out till marriage is too late. My aunt died from secondhand sleep apnea. Make him do the snore. It's okay to laugh. It's Sunday. We're going to get in the word. Trust me on this one. Number 2, the hearing test. Men, once we get married, we can't hear anymore. Honey, I told you, and you said, yes, you'll do it. I didn't hear you. And then the Easter egg hunt test, because men, once we get married, we can't find anything anymore. My wife goes, honey, can you get me the peanut butter jar? It's in the pantry. I opened the pantry. I can't find it. I'm looking. I'm like, someone, we need to get some more. I don't know where it is. She goes, it's right here. Wow, you're a magician. And then, of course, the mind-reading test. Men, you have to learn the mind-reading test to figure out what it is without knowing what it is. And then once you do that, you go do the physical test. You sit in the driver's seat. Your wife-to-be will sit in the back seat and tells you how to drive. And if you still want a marriage license after that, you deserve it. You get it. See, I'm married. I'm happily married. I love my wife. It used to be easy to be romantic. It used to be easy before social media. All you had to do is beat your wife's best friend's husband's gift. Sue's husband got her 2 dozen roses for Valentine. You get her 4, you're done. Now I have social media. I have to get up at 5 in the morning on Valentine. Don't tell my wife. I know her password. I go in and delete some people. I'm taking my wife to Italy for Valentine's. Bam! I just bought my wife a new Audi. Bam! Block! My wife doesn't need to be exposed to that. See, it's hard to surprise my wife because she knows everything. I'm the guy that's so undetailed. I'm not detail-oriented. Anybody detail-oriented? I'm not. See, are you married? No, you gotta marry someone who's not detail-oriented, because opposites attract. My wife, you know, one time I bought a car. She called me, she goes, did you buy that? I go, yeah. She goes, how much? I go, 25, 26, I think. She goes, exactly. I go, I don't know. She goes, what's the interest rate? I don't know, I didn't ask the guy. I just wanted the car, and I again, she's detailed. And I'm like, honey, you don't have to be. God was not detailed. God is not detailed. When he told Adam and Eve, he didn't say have 2 children and 2 boys and 3 girls. He goes, be fruitful and multiply. They said, when are you coming back? No one knows the time or the hour. One day is like 1,000 years for the Lord, right? If the Lord is not detail-oriented, I'm not detail-oriented. But my wife is like huge. She knows everything about me. One time I went to Costco. I got her something. I wanted to surprise her. I was so excited. She called me while I'm driving home. Did you get the blue one or the red one? How do you know all that stuff? Well, I got the credit card. That's what it shows me. I just don't know. So one time I did a surprise party for her. I kid you not. Surprise party. You know, she found out, of course. And she changed the color of the balloon. She changed the cake. She uninvited people I already invited. When we got to the surprise party, I was surprised. I don't know what to buy her. She's one of those minimalists, doesn't like anything like, oh, the Lord is coming, we don't need all that stuff, I don't need anything, I'm good. There's a place called Glen Ivy near Corona where I live. And they have a spa and they have a restaurant. I said, oh, good, I'll get a gift certificate for us two will go and spend the day together. She took her sister. I'm not making this up. So I said, honey, you know what? Here's a credit card. You go buy yourself anything you want, romantic. It's on me. Last month, I was so romantic. I'm like, wow, I'm so creative. But we go on dates. When you're married, take your wife on a date once a week. This is our date because we have kids. Any moms in the house? Your kids just, do you have kids? Oh, they just suck every ounce of energy from you. I know. They wake my wife at 3 a.m. We have homework. Mom, we forgot. Mom, can you make me this? It's like a sweatshop in my home. I'm serious. But this is how a typical date. When we get in the car, the minute I get on the on-ramp, she's fast asleep. I'm like, I just keep driving. We don't need to eat. Just keep going, honey. Just sleep. Get your rest now so those kids don't bother you. Just keep driving. We keep driving and she's sleeping. And every 5 minutes she wakes up like, watch out. For what? For the cars. I was watching out while you're sleeping, honey. And then she goes back. I go, oh, you're so beautiful. I love you, honey. Just don't worry. Just rest. Don't worry. Watch out. It's like a Halloween haunted house. You know you're going to get scared. But you don't know when. but my home is like, what do you call it? Our home, we're a family if like we plan stuff, but we never do it. We're procrastinators. Like this is a typical day in our home. It's like, I go, hey guys, this Saturday we're going to get up. We're going to go to the beach, okay? It's been a while. We need to get up early and go to the beach. They go, yeah, Dad, we need to go to the beach. It's been a while. Yeah, we'll get up early Saturday. We'll go to the beach. Saturday morning, I'm like, hey guys, it's kind of like when, you know, it's like kind of foggy and we're cold. You really want to go to the beach? They go, no, Dad, we don't need to go to the beach. We'll go next time. The beach is not going anywhere. We'll go next week. I go, okay, maybe we'll get up at lunch and make a lunch together as a family in the kitchen. Would that be great? They go, yeah, Dad, that'll be great. We'll get up at lunchtime and we'll make lunch. Lunchtime, I'm like, hey guys, you really want to mess up the kitchen, you know? Why can't we just order a pizza? They go, yeah, Dad, let's order pizza. The kitchen's not going anywhere. And that's fine. But this is my fear, like many, many years from now, I'm going to hear, I hope that's not the conversation. Hey guys, we need to bury Dad. He's been in the fridge for too long. We'll get up this Saturday early in the morning, go to the cemetery and bury him, okay? We'll do that. Yeah, we need to do that. We'll get up early. Dad deserves it. We'll go get some flowers and go to the cemetery early in the morning. Saturday morning. Hey guys, you feel like burying Dad? It's kind of cold and foggy out there, you know? Let's just do it next week, okay? Yeah, let's do it next week. He's not going anywhere, you know what I mean? We'll do it next week. You know what? Let's just cremate him. He always wanted Jesus to tell him, well done, good and faithful servant. It's horrible. I'm going to just share a story about fear and about trusting, and then I'll get into the message. 2002, I was hired by a church in West Virginia to do a comedy show. And I flew in there, got my hotel at the airport. I always do that. And the pastor and his wife picked me up and drove me an hour and a half to their church. And I did the show. And while doing the show, the pastor and his wife had an emergency. They left. So I finished my show. The assistant pastor comes up and he goes, true story. He goes, who wants to take Nazareth back to the hotel? It's only an hour and a half one way and an hour and a half back. And nobody did. Everybody's just walking by me and I'm trying to look cute. And everybody's swiping left. You know, like, no, no, no. I'm like, hey, I won't mess with your music. I'm nice. I have stories. More. I'll make you laugh. Nobody did it. Except the last guy. He looked like a militia guy in fatigues and those hats. And he's like, I'll take him. I'm like, ooh. So I go out. We didn't have smartphones by then, so I memorized his license plate. It was a Ford F-150 gray with a license plate, and I remember the license plate, and he had a sticker said, 9/11 will never forget. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. And then we got in the car, and he started driving in a two-lane highway. Didn't say a word. And I'm nervous. I'm like, nice gun rack here. I'm from California. You can get arrested for that. But oh, yeah, you collect knives. That's awesome. Oh, you got a shovel in the back. You must be in Boy Scout, huh? And he's not saying anything. I'm getting nervous. And then all of a sudden, he gets off the two-lane highway, and goes into a dirt road into the corn. And I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord, I don't want to die in the corn. They won't find me till harvest. I'll be bad by the... Please, Lord. And this whole, like, 9/11 will never forget became real to me. I'm like, oh, this guy's going to kill me. I said, Lord Jesus, I'm going to lie. How many of you would lie to save your life, honestly? How? Come on. You, yeah, you. Thank you. Yeah, I would lie to save my life. I said, Lord, you'll forgive me later. I'm going to lie. So, because he goes, I'm taking a shortcut. All I heard is the word cut. I'm like, ah. I go, man, that's good because my arm is killing me. Ever since the FBI put that chip under my arm, it's killing me. He goes, what is that for? I go, you know what? They can see us. They can hear us. They know I'm an Ford 150 license plate F61742 with a guy. What's your name? Baba? Baba. Yes, with Baba. And he goes, that's wrong. That's racist. They shouldn't do that. I go, hey, it comes in handy. You know what I mean? Let's say you're stuck in the corn or something, you know. They can find you. And he gets back right on the main highway. I go, oh, thank you, Lord. It worked. We get to the hotel lobby, and he goes, I just saved you half an hour, brother. What can I pray for you? I'm like, ah, he's a believer. Ah, pray for honesty and courage. But I trusted in myself, and that's what happened. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. So let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we come to you today, Lord. We're going to go through your word, and we're going to go through it, Lord. I pray that everyone here would just take something home with them today from your word, because your Holy Spirit knows their needs. We love you, we praise you, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, or if you, your phones, or you don't, you can watch. We're going to be in 2 Kings 18 and 19. So today, I'm going to go walk through a fruitful garden. Imagine with me, we're going to walk through a garden. I'm going to pick some fruits and throw it to you and hand it to you. To some of you, you really need that. For others, maybe not that fruit, but the next one will affect you, the next one. But I guarantee you, by the time you leave today, everyone will have something to chew on from that garden, from the Word of God. And so don't wander, don't get distracted, because the next fruit I'm going to throw at you might be yours. Let's start in the beginning of 2 Kings 18, beginning on verse 1. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to that all his father David has done. See, King Hezekiah was considered one of the best kings in Judah. Now, the whole Holy Land was divided into two countries. Israel, the northern kingdom, which was 10 tribes, and then Judah, which is the southern kingdom that has two tribes, where King Hezekiah was leading. The other one was King Hosea was leading there. Now, Hezekiah, his dad was named Ahaz, King Ahaz. He was a horrible, bad king. And then Hezekiah is a great king. What happened? There's a mention of a mother here, which normally the Bible didn't mention. Her name was Abby. So here's the first fruit. If you're a single mom, or you're married to a guy, or you're married, your spouse is bad, and you think, just because my spouse is not good and is bad, that my kids are going to turn horrible, or my daughter or my son is married someone and they're not really godly, they're bad, then the kid's going to be horrible. Guess not. Not really. If the mother is good, the kids can be good. If the father is good, the kids can be good. So God can still reach out and make a great king out of someone whose dad was a horrible king. So that's one fruit for you who needs to hear that. Then Hezekiah removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden images, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses has made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehustan. Remember in the days when Moses was there, people were not obeying the Lord. So God sent snakes in the land, and they were biting people and killing them. And then God told Moses, make a snake out of brass, put it on a pillar, up there, and whoever looks at it will be, you know, will be healed just looking at it. And that's Jesus later referred to that. He said, just like Moses raised that serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man will be lifted up, you know. So because he took this, our sins, he became the sin for us. And when we look to the cross, and we can be saved. So he gave him that. And that was good at the time. But then you know what the people did? They started worshiping it. They started worshiping it, even though it's done. This was for a moment to heal people from the snakes, but they worship it. And you know, some of you come from like traditional church, like I came from a Greek Orthodox tradition, sometimes come from a Catholic tradition, old tradition. You're holding back to traditions that no longer apply, but you're still holding on to it. And God said, let go of that. Let go of that. Hezekiah had to destroy that. Boom, another fruit for some of you who need to know. It's not about tradition. It's about your daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about following him. So then in verse 5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among the kings of Judah, Hezekiah, nor were before him. For he held fast to the Lord. Listen to this. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord has commanded Moses. The Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went. Okay, so here's a little cause and effect. Because he held fast to the Lord and kept his commandments, the Lord was with him and he prospered wherever he went. You want to prosper wherever you went? I'm not talking money. You want to be prosperous in your life, in your walk? Do what Hezekiah did. He followed God's commandment. He didn't depart from them. He held fast to the Lord and kept his commandment. So God was with him and he prospered him. Boom. Somebody needs to hear that. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. He subdued the Philistine as far as Gaza and its territory from watchtower to fortified city. Now, the Assyrians were the ruling kingdom at the time. I was reading something about ISIS and their leader, Al-Zarqawi. Al-Zarqawi studied what the Assyrians were did. They were horrible, horrible, horrible. They tortured. Their methods of torture were just so horrible. And ISIS did the same exact torture that the Assyrians were doing, to the point that they scared the world. I mean, when someone knew that the Assyrians were coming, they knew they were going to be destroyed. They're going to be tortured. It's going to be horrible thing. A missionary from Iraq came to me and told me some of the stuff that ISIS did. I can't even share with my wife or anyone because it was so horrible. But that's how the Assyrians were. You hear the word Assyria back in that time, you just start shaking. And that's so the king of Assyria did that. So first time, what's his name? Hezekiah. Boom. He rebelled against him. He didn't care. Now it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, we're in verse 9, which was the seventh year of Hosea, the son of Elam, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. We're talking about the northern kingdom now. So the Assyrians came against the northern kingdom. At the end of the 3 years, they took it. In the sixth year of Hezekiah, that is the ninth year of Hosea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. Then the king of Assyria carried Israel away captive to Assyria and put them in Hala by the Habor, the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded, and they would neither hear nor do them. Boom, cause and effect. Israel became captive. Why? They didn't believe. You don't believe in God, you don't want to follow his commandments, instead of being blessed, instead of prospering, instead of having the Lord with you, you're going to be captive to something. You're going to be captive to something. Could be drugs, alcohol, an immoral lifestyle, whatever it is, you're going to be captive. Cause and effect. Number verse 13, and in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified city of Judah and took them. So he came into Judah and took parts of the cities in there. Then Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria at last, saying, I have done wrong. Turn away from me. Whatever you impose on me, I will pay. Lack of faith and fear on Hezekiah's part. He got scared. He trusted himself. And he said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't listen to you, but in the past, I will do whatever you need, whatever you want me to pay, I will do it. And the king of Assyria assessed Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. That's like £1,000,000. So Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house. At the time, Hezekiah stripped the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, have overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. So when you're afraid and when you trust in yourself, what do? You take the tithe that should go to the God and you spend it on worldly stuff. You give it because you're afraid. You know, it just the money that should be God's money, it was being given to the enemy because of fear. Taking from God's money to please the world. So first of all, trusting in self. Hezekiah trusted in himself in the beginning. I attended Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa for 20 years. My pastor was Chuck Smith. One of his assistants was called Pastor Romaine. He's with the Lord. He's been gone for a while. He said something that really, really important. If you don't take anything from today, take this. He said, don't let the tyranny of self-reliance deprive you of the miraculous. Don't let the tyranny of self-reliance deprive you of the miraculous. Sometimes God allows something, a challenge, a problem, to come into your life. And what do? Right away, you start handling it because you're self-reliant. And you go, I can do that. I handle it. Oh, I'll fix it. I'll do that. You can. And sometimes it works. But you're depriving yourself of what God can miraculously do in that situation. That's why it's very important, and we'll talk about it later. Whenever you have a challenge or something comes your way, you know what? Just go on your knees first. Let God do the miraculous instead of you doing what you know how to do best. Self-reliance. So, Sennacherib, we go to verse 17. Sennacherib, which is the king of Assyria, he boasts against the Lord. Then the king of Assyria sent the Tartan, the Rabsaris, and the Rabshaka from Lachish. Those are titles, they're not names. Nobody names their kid Rabshaka. It'll be horrible. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Rabshaka. It just works. So these are titles, like positions, like minister of this, minister. With a great army against Jerusalem to King Hezekiah. He sent almost 200,000 soldiers, Assyrian soldiers, coming to surround Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. When they had come up, they went and stood by the aqueduct from the upper pool, which was on the highway to the fuller field. And when they had called to the king, Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph. Those are also titles, those are names of people that worked for King Hezekiah. So King Hezekiah didn't go himself. He sent his people, and those were, the recorder came out to them. Then the Rabshaka said to them, say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this which you trust? You speak of having plans and power for war, but they are mere words. And in whom do you trust? That's a question for you too. In whom do you trust that you rebel against me? Now look, you're trusting in the staff of this broken reed, Egypt. See what happened is when Hezekiah started giving the money and he ran out of this money, he went to Egypt, to Pharaoh, and said, can you guys protect me? Can you guys protect me? And now the Assyrians making fun of him. Really, you're trusting in Egypt? In Egypt? On which, if a man, it's like a rod, a stick, if a man leans on it, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. Who are you trusting with? I got a story. This is funny. When I first started, you know, I started doing comedy, and then I left comedy in the clubs and, you know, and a sitcom and Vegas, and I became a Christian comedian where it wasn't much work at all back then. Like, what? Comedy? Christian comedy? So there was no money coming. And I just got laid off from my job, even though I was one of their top employees in my tax accounting firm. But because I was the highest paid at the time, and they wanted to cut the budget, so they let me go. And I was so excited because they gave me 6 months severance pay. And I went, wow, I can do comedy full time. That's what I wanted to do. And that's what I did. I quit. But I was newlywed, and we lived in Costa Mesa, Newport, and our rent was $1,425 a month, and we never paid it on time. It was always the last day. I can't mail it. I have to go and hand it to the landlord the 10th day of every month. Some of you can relate to this. It was one of those every single month. We're short. Maybe the love offering wasn't enough, and we end up doing that. Well, one time, a relative of mine, who's a very wealthy relative, he found out what's going on with our situation. He goes, oh, Naz, you're doing this, you're struggling. Look, here's my watch. It's a gold watch. It's worth so much money. I paid so much for this watch. You know, he says, it's worth a lot of money. I want you to have it. I said, okay. He goes, if you ever short, sell it, and you'll pay several months. I go, okay. So I took it to my new bride. She goes, look what he gave me. She goes, why? Why would you trust in a watch? Why? I go, hey, you never know. It's backup, just in case. We can't pay. I can sell. At least I can sleep at night knowing that if this doesn't happen, you know, I can sell the watch. Well, the month came in where on the 10th day, no shows, nothing coming, no checks in the mail. And it was about 3 in the afternoon. And I said, you know what? We need to sell the watch. And my wife goes, come on. I go, hey, we need to pay the rent today. So I went to a jeweler on 17th Street in Costa Mesa. I said, listen, hey, I just want to see what's this watch worth. He goes, can I open it and look inside? I go, yeah, in front of me. Don't take it anywhere else. He goes, let me call my friend in the back. And his friend came in, and they opened the watch and looked at it. He goes, I'll give you $70 for this. I go, what? It's gold. He goes, no, it's not gold. Trust me, it's not gold. And this is a fake watch. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, it's a fake watch. I can show you. It's a fake watch. I'll give you $70. You want it? I go, no. So I took the watch. I'm walking with my tail between my legs, and my wife is laughing. She is laughing in the car. I go, what are you laughing at? He goes, how much? I go, $70. She goes, and you trusted in a watch. I go, I don't care. I need to pay the rent. She goes, trust God. I don't mean trust God. It's 4 o'clock. What am I trusting God for? I mean, I trust God. Let's be reasonable. I need it right away. I need the payment right away. She goes, trust God. I was like, ah. So we drove home. I kid you not. There was a FedEx in my front door. And I opened it, and it was an apology letter. Because when I was working for that firm, they had 401k plan that they were putting like 2 or 3% in it. And because when I left for 6 months or more, I didn't tell them where to transfer the money, they gave me a check, $1,425. I paid the rent. Exact amount of money. Don't let the tyranny of self-reliance deprive you of the miraculous. Some of you are trusting in your jobs. Some of you in ministry trusting in your big donors. Oh, if this person leaves my church, we're going to be really in a bad shape financially. If this company let me go, I don't know how we're going to make it. If this person, I need to be with this person, because if I'm not with this person, I'll never make it. No. Trust in the Lord. He will take care of you. Don't trust in government check. Don't trust in your employer check. Don't trust in the donation. If you're in ministry, don't trust in your donors. Don't trust in anything, but trust in the Lord, because He will take care of you, and He will find ways to take care of you. Does that make sense? I'm throwing this fruit to everyone right here. Stop trusting in people. Trust in the Lord. And that's what's the problem with Hezekiah. He trusted in Egypt, and it didn't help them. So what they did, quickly, they did a siege. This is what I read about the siege. The Persians, the Babylonians, and the Assyrians did a siege. What they do is when they go to take over a city or to, you know, to win a city, they surround that city, and they just sit there. They build another wall around the first wall, and they just sit there, sometimes 25 years. The soldiers will just live there, and they will cut the water supply, and they will cut the food supply, and just wait for the people. And eventually, the people will end up without any food or any water, and so many times, and you read it in history, they eat their own babies, they eat their own dead people, and they end up eating and drinking their feces and their urine. That's what happens, and then they surrender. It's a siege. That's what they do. You know what? Satan does the same thing to people. Of course, you're here at church, you're not under siege, but there's people watching online, or some people who are stopped. Because Satan would separate you from your own church family. He will separate you from the Christians. He will make sure you're too busy to read the Bible because you have to work out. You have to do this. You have to go to work. You have to work on Sunday. You have to do this. You have to. You don't have time. Oh, when you have some time, it's social media or this or that. And he just makes sure that the Word of God, the living Word, the living fountain, is not feeding you and it's not filling you, and you become under siege. And before you know it, you're taking the feces of the world, the garbage of the world, because that's all that's available to you. Remember, it's so important to spend time in the Word daily. It's so important to be with God's people, to come to church, to have fellowship with other believers. Some people got lazy because of COVID. I'll just watch it online. You know what? If you're physically capable, come down to church. Spend time with other believers. Fellowship, because that's what Satan wants. He wants to separate you. He wants to seize you. And they did that. They did that to Jerusalem. They surrounded it. And I'll just say that when I wrote this message last month, I prayed this prayer. I said, Lord, I want to thirst for you, to be in your presence, to be cleansed by your word, to be encouraged by your promises, to be convicted by your holiness, and to be taught by your truth. That's available every morning. You can be cleansed, you can be lifted up, you can be encouraged. Your whole day will be great, regardless of what happens, because you spend time in God's Word. For John 7:38, it says, he who believes in me, as the scripture had said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Well, then the Rabshakeh in verse 28 stood and called out with a loud voice in Hebrew and spoke, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, don't let Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you from his hand. Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be given into the hands of King Assyria. Don't listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me, buy a present, and come out to me. He's talking to the people. And every one of you eat from his own vine, and everyone from his own fig tree, and every one of you drink the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyard, a land of olive groves and honey, that you may live and not die. Does that sound familiar? This Rabshakeh saying what the king saying? Sounds like Satan talking to Eve. Oh, you will not die. Ah, you'll be like God. This is what he said. He said, guys, if you listen to us, if you obey me, oh, you're going to have all your food. You're going to have all your drink, your vineyards. You're going to have a wonderful time until. What did he do with Israel and the northern kingdom? He took him to a whole different, and he put hooks in their noses and with change pulled them out. That's what Satan does to you. I do a lot of celebrate recovery. And when you talk to someone who's addicted to alcohol and drugs, they go, in the beginning, it was great. We're the fun people. We're the life of the party. We have so many fun friends. And we drink and have fun and drink and do drugs and drink. And it was fun and great. Until. Oh, I'm going to go live with this guy. He's wonderful. Oh, we live. Well, we don't need to be married. We'll just have a. He loves me. He's going to spend the rest of his life. Until. There's always an until with Satan. Every promise that God has is eternal promise. But every promise that Satan gives you, until. It's full of lies. And he lied to the people. And then I'll finish the story. When King Hezekiah found that out, what he did, he took the letter that the king gave him and put it before the Lord and prayed. He said, Lord, help us. And he went to Isaiah And he said, pray for me. And Isaiah said, because you did that, the Lord is going to take care of you. And God sent an angel. And in one day and night, 185,000 Assyrian soldiers were killed in one night, one angel. That's what I call the miraculous. When Hezekiah stopped being self-reliant and allowed God and prayed and let God handle the work, the miraculous happened. Some of you here sitting today, you're self-reliant, or you're watching, you're self-reliant that maybe you're good enough to make it to heaven, that you're good enough, that by your own, you know, you're better than other people, you know, you're not as bad, you don't steal, you don't kill, you don't do that, and you're going to make it to heaven because you're trying hard and you're giving money to poor people and you're serving and you're going to make it to heaven. You cannot make it to heaven based on your self-reliance. The miraculous happened. God himself became a man and lived a perfect life on this earth. And in due time, he obediently went to the cross. And on that cross, he took the punishment that you and I deserve for breaking the commandments of a holy God. We lied, we cheated, we lusted, we coveted, we did all the things. We broke God's commandment, a holy God whose judgment should be severe. But because of his love for you and me, and because he knew you cannot do anything to please him on your own goodness, Jesus, his son, had to go to the cross obediently, take that punishment that we deserve. And he said, it is finished. And on the third day, he rose from the dead, that we can have life and victory over the things that hold us back. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? If you're here this morning and go, Nazareth, I've never asked Christ into my life. And while Pastor Kyle was talking about communion, man, I was convicted. I need to get right. I've never surrendered to God. He's not my Lord. He's not my Savior. But I come to church, and I'm a good person. But you feel I need to get right with God today. Because it's not based on what you can do. It's based on what Christ has done. It is by grace through faith you have been saved. Not of works, lest you boast about it. It's a gift of God. So if you're here today, and you say, Nazareth, I need to receive Jesus in my life. Would you slip your hand up? I'm going to pray for you just quickly. That's all I'm going to. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else that said, today I want to surrender my life to Christ? If you're online, just text or do something. Tell them, I need Jesus in my life. Pray this prayer. Say, Lord, forgive me. I failed you. But today I come to you. And I ask you to come into my life, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. And thank you that you rose again from the dead, that I can have life and victory over the things that hold me back. Lord, I want to turn away from the way I'm living and follow you all the days of my life. For in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. If you're a believer and you don't follow me on social media under Comedian Nazareth, may God have mercy on you. Just quickly, since I am in Anaheim, in 2009, God put it in my heart and another lady from Iraq to start a ministry to reach out to the Iraqi refugees that come, you know, because of the war, come here. And then it became the Afghani refugees, and it became the Syrian refugees, and now it's the Ukrainian refugees. And if you don't know that, within miles from here, on Crescent and Brookhurst, we serve 2,000 refugee family every month. We give them food on Thursday. We have ESL classes. We teach them how to drive. We teach them how to apply for a job. And if you want to serve, if you want to volunteer, talk to me afterwards, because it's not that far from you. And really, really, you'll see God at work, because these people, mostly Muslims, come from other parts of the world, and they get to see the love of Jesus through you. I'll be at the table back there if you want to talk to me about it. Kyle, thank you, brother, for having me. May God bless you guys.